The Necessity of Reforming the Church, 1544. A Supplication to the Most Invincible Caesar, Charles V. The most illustrious princes and other ranking officials now holding an assembly of the empire at Speyer, to determine sincerely to address the concern of reforming the church. Published in the name of all who want Christ to reign. By John Calvin, 1544. A Supplication to the Most Invincible Caesar, Charles V, the illustrious princes and other ranking officials. This assembly was ordered by you, O Caesar Augustus. In it we are all deciding on the present condition of the church, which is most wretched and nearly regarded as lost. To correct it for the better, may you at last enter and settle on a method with the very distinguished princes of the empire and the other noblemen. Therefore, because you are now sitting down in a public assembly for this deliberation, on my knees I ask and beg of you first, O Caesar, and at the same time of you, O distinguished princes and noblemen, to read and weigh carefully what I am publishing in your midst, so that you may not feel troubled. It is the size and weight of the cause that should stir you up with eagerness to listen. But I am bringing the matter before your eyes so that you may be able to determine easily what your part is. Whoever I may be, I profess that I am here supporting the protection of holy doctrine and the church. In this name I seem to deserve at least this one thing, that you do not deny me an audience until it is apparent that either I falsely make use of such a title or faithfully display it and show in the matter itself that I bring before me. Moreover, although I know that I am by no means a match for such a burden, I nevertheless have no fear that when the reason for my attendance has been heard by you, I will be accused of negligence or rashness, because I have been bold to come to the aid of this magistracy. There are two matters about which people usually take action to command or indeed to defend something. For we regard both what is done with sincere and godly devotion, worthy of praise, and what is expressed by public necessity as at least worthy of justification. Because both of these factors apply to me, I have no doubt, given your fairness, that I can easily defend this counsel of mine to you. For where better or more sincerely, where even at this time, is it allowed for me to devote myself in a matter more necessary than if I try to be present with my strength to the Church of Christ, to which it is lawful to deny nothing at all, and which is now struggling greatly and in extreme danger? Nevertheless, there is no reason to say much about myself in advance. Therefore, receive what I am saying as if one voice of all those who have already taken care to reform the church, or who desire that it be restored to true order, were shouting. There are several princes of the highest rank and many state officials present in this cause. I speak for all these in such a way that they all speak at the same time with one voice more truly through me. Add to these the infinite multitude of godly people who, scattered throughout various parts of the Christian world, nevertheless with common consent, back me in this action. Finally, consider this the shared pleading of all who so seriously grieve over the present corruption of the church, that they are no longer able to endure it and will not give up until they see some change. I know that we have been marked for infamy by hateful names, but by whatever name it may please you to call us at last, hear our cause in the meantime, and then afterward judge in what place we should be regarded. First of all, there is no question that the church struggles with many very terrible diseases. All people agree about this, even those who judge moderately. But the question is whether the diseases are the sort that attention to them may not bear longer delay, so that it is neither useful nor permitted to wait for remedies that are too slow. We are accused of rashness and wicked innovation because we have dared to move anything at all in the church from its former condition. What? Even if it was done reasonably and rightly? There are those, so I hear, who do not hesitate to condemn us even in this, because they think that we should have desired correction but were not allowed to attempt it.